The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from the Department of English, it's Professor Heather Hill Vasquez.
I'm darn tired, and my daughter has started dating. Ah!
Wow.
Guy with the teal tie?
Yes.
Match her dress?
Yes, he asked her out.
That was like the cutest thing ever.
Oh, my word.
They are so awesome. They are official now.
And she's 15? So I only have a couple years to go before this starts happening?
She just turned 15.
Wow.
Going on 50.
Yikes. I don't know how people do it.
Anyway, greetings to one and all.
You dropped a bomb on us there, Heather, to start everything off.
I just realized it myself.
Oh, my gosh. Professor Jason Roach is here from the Department of Communication Studies.
Yes.
Communicate.
Yeah, I need help with communication right now.
I'm very happy to be here. This is a very much needed break after a lot of proposal writing before the 15th.
Of course. Yes, we asked Kate Walters how many emails were in her inbox today, and it was only 185, so I think
only?
We've got some work to do, you know, yes. I know what Jason is referring to, and I'm glad you met the deadline, Jason. Let's just leave it at that for the moment.
As we do all.
Yes.
It begins with a C.
Yes.
Cookie?
We wish.
Wait, did somebody bring cookies today? Because that would have been
awful. We wish.
You know, without Dan here, I don't know what we're doing, frankly. We need to assign someone else to bring, like, the M&M bag or something.
All right.
I wrote 4 proposals. I wrote 6.
Is this Name That Tune? Yeah. Is that what we're doing here? Professor Jim Tubbs is here.
Yes.
You're in Argyle, Jim. Not Stripes.
Argyle.
It's quite nice, actually.
It's a lovely sweater. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Matches your turtleneck.
I had to talk to Stephanie and Jacob's class today, so I had to look decent. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. About?
About Argyle? Ethics.
Oh, that only makes sense. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Because it's their senior seminar course?
Yes.
Yes. The one, the capstone for the biology majors, right?
And for some weird reason, they didn't think that teaching a biology course equipped them to be the ones to talk about the ethics component. I don't know why, but
let's not have that conversation.
Again, this involves the C word.
What did you talk about?
Subject matter.
Oh, just talking to the students about what ethics means and what sort of moral considerations they might be coming up with in biological sciences.
Sure. Very cool. They write some big-time papers in that class after doing research about all sorts of modern topics. Someone had me look at something about antibiotic resistance last term, and fun stuff. I mean, okay, antibiotic resistance isn't fun, but the paper was kind of fun to read.
Not fun if you got it.
Not fun.
It's fun if you're a germ.
Yeah, some germs.
Jason Roach, : Do germs have fun? There's your next documentary.
I don't need
germs
to know about his colon.
Just gotta have fun.
Professor Dave Chow is here from the College for Creative Studies.
As always.
We missed you. We knew you were flying over, I believe you said, either the Himalayas or New Jersey.
One of the two, right? Is there a difference?
I have no idea.
The Himalayas are nicer.
How long was the flight from New Jersey to...
I think 16 hours.
Oh, gosh.
Wait, New Jersey to China?
New Jersey to Hong Kong.
Hong Kong.
Oh, my gosh.
So we had to fly via Newark.
God, I can't even handle a 4-hour...
No, actually, the flight there wasn't that bad. The flight from Detroit to Newark was harrowing. We were supposed to leave at 10 o'clock, and somehow there's a busted water main, and I landed at New Jersey at about 3:20 to catch a 3:30 flight.
Whoa. Ooh.
So I made like O.J. Simpson cutting through that airport with luggage.
Nice. Too bad we don't have that on tape.
Referring to an old O.J. commercial.
Yep,
yes.
Exactly.
So. Hurts. Yes. It was Hurts.
Rent-a-car.
It hurt me too. So.
Did the gloves fit?
I have no idea. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Then you must have quit.
Exactly.
We also, of course, have Professor Beth Oljar here with us.
Yay.
What's going on?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Just sitting around learning about Cuba. Just having lunch, learning about Cuba.
Learning about Cuba, having a little food.
Last week,
getting
Beth
a pizza
was...
delivered in here.
Right, exactly. Beth was working steadily on an answer key for your logic homework, and I have to let you know that Professor Evans, who was here with us, Kendra, was like, Beth was being so diligent about making sure she answered every question. It's like, Do you think that's the sort of thing a professor does only at the beginning of the term when they have that extra time? Or, you know, just saying that I believe Professor Evans was referring to the fact she probably doesn't work out every problem from the homework she gives the students.
But. Well, the alternative is the possibility, not with the symbolization problems, but the alternative on the proofs is being embarrassed and unable to figure out how to do one in class, which has happened to me before.
So. Yeah, that happens to me pretty much on a daily basis.
I usually don't like to ask students to do anything I haven't done myself.
Sure, I understand.
That's wise.
Absolutely.
Or stupid.
Unbelievable. Well,
hey, you know, you guys have already been doing this. This is my first week back. So
yeah, because you go to a sane school.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah, I wouldn't go. I wouldn't go that
well,
far.
And one of Kendra's advisees just added my symbolic.
Really?
Logic.
This week?
Yeah.
Wow. How is that possible?
Late.
Huh.
Had to enroll late. Some hold on a record or some such thing.
That's just very kind.
Folks, this is a program you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump our panel, you can win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you can win a different kind of one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can tweet at us using @AskTheProfUDM or #AskTheProfUDM on Twitter, or find us on Facebook. We were in the middle of a bunch of questions last time, which we'll boot up again in just a moment, but we got a direct email from Steve Bailey of Des Moines, Iowa, where he listens and says, "Hello, panel. I have a coffee mug collection that needs one of your coffee mugs. Mm-hmm. I'm the weekend producer that puts the Ask the Professor program from the web link out to the computer systems. I have no questions for the panel." However, he ends, ironically, by asking one, "Can you send me a mug?" we'll get on that, Steve.
Can you give us any clues, Matt?
I know,
you might be able to answer that.
Vivian says no. I'm sorry. It's already before.
Vivian never says no.
She never
sends the questions.
Never. But it'd be great, Steve, if you sent us some questions. I think that'd be totally cool. We had a set of questions I know that is going to scintillate all. Andrew Wellman of Gulfport, Florida, had sent us questions about one of his favorite things. He's from Gulfport, Florida. That's where he lives. But he wanted to talk to us about the Silver Dome, as in the Pontiac Silver Dome.
Wow.
So we were talking about Super Bowl XVI, Rocky V plus Rocky VI equals, that's
16?
Super Bowl 16, thank you. We were talking about it being based on market share, the last question we had answered correctly, the number one highest rated Super Bowl of all time.
That one was?
Based on the number of people watching and the share that it had.
Was
no
that the one,
one
where Whitney
since.
Houston sang the national anthem and the Atlanta kids were kidnapped or whatever?
There
Atlanta
was
child killer.
It was 1982, so I don't think it was Whitney Houston. Okay. She would have been about 11 years old. And,
was it
possible,
about the time of the Atlanta child killer.
Okay.
But it was Solidarity. Well, we had a moment of silence at the start of that Super Bowl for Solidarity we had talked about. What bit of video technology did CBS first introduce to a national audience during the broadcast of Super Bowl 16? The first time ever.
Skycam?
The Telestrator?
The Telestrator was used.
Oh.
Yes.
Nice.
The gadget which allows someone to draw on top of the video image. The game was also the first Super Bowl color commentator assignment for John Madden, who would become noted for his frequent use of the device in the future.
I did it before then, too, but my parents would have to scrub it off the television.
Yeah.
Put a piece of plastic wrap over the screen.
Look, he's drinking a beer.
Craig Troy on the television.
All I can remember is that I grew up listening to John Madden call a lot of those games, and after the new technology got out there where they could show the first down line, superimposed.
Yeah, the yellow line. Yeah.
He just every once in a while, although they were going for the line, and when it was like, John, they can't see the line. Like, the line's not actually there. You can't try to get
well,
there.
Do you remember when they used to put that, like, green streak on the hockey puck?
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, don't
that was really
don't
weird.
Remind me. That was secret shame.
Fox,
secret shame.
Fox Network there,
the Fox
right?
puck.
Glow puck. How many professional sports franchises called the Silver Dome their home?
Well, we know about the Panthers.
The Lions, the Panthers, the Pistons, the Shock. Did the Shock play
there? The Shock never played there. You've hit them all but one. You said the Lions.
Was there a professional
drive?
The Pistons.
Was there a lacrosse team there?
And
or a soccer team?
NASL. The
North American Soccer League.
Was it the Sting? What was it? What were they?
I love how you guys caught on to the Panthers, who only played there for one season.
It's an Al Taubman owned team. It was a championship. They raised the banner, right?
For 3 years, the Detroit something played there, our soccer team.
Was it
something or some things?
Sadly, it's a collective noun. I'm hoping I get that right, Heather. And it's very difficult to express
plurals. Wasn't the drive, wasn't the kick,
it was the Detroit Express.
That's right.
Played there.
I could see the logo, but I couldn't remember. 1978
to 1980. As you can see, they were extremely successful. What performer?
Lingeringly.
It's the name.
What performer once told a Silver Dome crowd during a concert, quote, "I'm standing on the very plot of ground that I used to ride my bike." Sick.
Ted Nugent. Unquote.
No.
Kid Rock.
You mentioned this performer just a little bit before we went on the air.
Whitney Houston?
Whitney Houston?
Not Whitney Houston.
No, she was on the air.
Oh, she was on the air.
It was the Silver Dome concert on 7 August 1987.
Madonna.
So it was Madonna.
Madonna makes total sense. Not Corey Hart.
Nope, not Corey Hart.
Well, even though Bob we were Seger talking about him later.
That would have been a good guess. That would have been a good guess. I love how the quote was sicked, though. What is it? "I'm standing on the very plot of ground that I used to ride my bike in." Oh, that's what she said. Okay, that's definitely
you
a
sick. Can't ride your bike in.
Yes. Well, I mean.
Well, maybe you could.
It would be pretty tough.
I don't know. It's,
if it's muddy, maybe.
Have you guys seen what it looks like now?
No.
It's a mess. Silverdome? Oh, it's a total train wreck.
It's collapsed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ugh. They should restore it like the old train.
Although the last picture I saw, the seats were holding up pretty well, given the fact that they've been open to the elements for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah,
now.
But they're plastic. I mean, they'll outlive us.
Don't make fun of the molecules. What performer played a New Year's Eve show at the Silver Dome for 62,000 screaming fans on December 31st, 1975?
Peter Frampton?
Nope. Less than 18 months later, May 3rd, 77... this person would play their final show in Michigan for only 7,000 people at the Saginaw Civic Center.
Elvis?
Final it was show. Elvis. It was Elvis Presley. Isn't that...
He played a 7,000-seat place in Saginaw?
I still remember.
Was it a casino?
I don't know. It's a Civic Center. It's
Do you guys remember? It was in Canton he played. It was like the Poison Apple or the Crab Apple or something like that. Wait, Elvis played some dinky little, like, really?
Wow.
And the only reason I remember because my dad hated Elvis. I'm like, what? Yeah, so.
I just remember the little pieces on Saturday Night Live with Lorraine Newman. Just ask Elvis. Oh. And the bust would be turning around in the light.
I thought you were going to go about that Saturday Night Live bit by Elvi, where there'd be the skinny Elvis and the fat Elvis. And Tony Aykroyd. Yeah, sure. Elvi. Oh,
I remember I first heard about him the day that he died. People were talking about it in the news, and I went home and I asked my parents, "Have you ever heard of this guy?" And they're like, yeah.
You're kidding.
He would have turned 80 this year.
I had a coworker at Medical College of Virginia that was just crushed by that. Oh, she was really torn up when he...
Oh,
dear.
Do I have to bring up Ice Cube in this discussion? You know, Elvis was a hero to most, but it didn't mean much to me. On March 29th, 1987, a reported 93,173 people crammed into the Pontiac Silverdome, setting a then record figure for a North American indoor sporting event. It was WrestleMania 3, absolutely.
Nice work, Dave.
Unbelievable. The record was broken in 2010. That's a long number of years later, when 108,000 plus attended the NBA All-Star Game at Cowboys Stadium, where even the best seats had you watching something the size of a postage stamp. They actually had a basketball game in the middle of Cowboys Stadium?
No, I think at that point, aren't they just watching the Jumbotron?
I think they are.
I mean, it's like, no offense, I'm much rather stay at home and watch as opposed to paying ungodly amounts of money.
Speaking of that Jumbotron, probably one of the funniest things I've ever seen, much less on the internet. You've all seen by now the bit where Conan O'Brien brings a Nintendo Wii into the Cowboy Stadium and plays video games on the Jumbotron, just sitting there in a crowd of new people and making you got to see it. It's very, very funny. He's a very funny man.
I've done that. Yes. I've done the CCS Auditorium.
Oh, there you go. See? You've already done
just
it.
Watching Mortal Kombat, like 8 feet tall.
According to some, however, WrestleMania 3 attendance fell 500 people short of the Silverdome's other most attended event of all time. What was that?
The Pope.
The Pope. It was the Mass of John Paul II, September 18th, 1987, where, give or take, 93,683 attended. We'll give the Pope the heads up on this one. Those were some pretty fun questions, Andrew. That was well-researched.
Indeed.
That's all I've got to say. Nobody but Andrew knows all that stuff about the Pontiac Silverdome. Okay, We have some Ask the Professor questions from Drew Warner. Do we know who Drew Warner is?
We do.
Okay. Are you going to explain?
Some of us more intimately than others.
Yeah, literally and figuratively, I hope.
Some background, Beth.
So then, Beth, perhaps you should say, I do.
I do. I do know him.
You do know
I
him.
I am married to him.
Okay.
And have been for, since 1988. Do the math.
Okay. We will do the math.
He's a tolerant man. Very tolerant man.
He sent us a ton of different questions. These are all really, really cool questions.
Because I nagged him.
Nag is such a horrible word, Beth. Coerced. How's about that? Is that better?
How is that an improvement?
She urged.
Nag just sounds like clawing and scratching, that's all.
Well, there was
it
no clawing
involved.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Drew sent
us cajoled. You cajoled.
Okay.
Persuaded.
Prompted.
There you go. Prompted.
Repeatedly
ordered,
asked.
Flogged.
Okay. Put the thesaurus away.
Okay.
He sent us some questions. The first chunk, if you will, is about comic books with a Western theme. So Lance Temple was the secret identity for which two different comic book Western heroes? Is this a thing that he likes? Does he like Western comic books?
He likes comic books.
That's cool. That's totally cool.
And Lance. He loves the history of the West and Western novels and Western-related things.
Okay, that's totally cool. Did he grow up? I mean, is he from where you're from? Or
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, did he grow
the
up
The right
in
side
general?
Of the country, the West.
The left side of the country,
the Northwest.
Well, the proper side,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. So Lance Temple, anybody?
Two-Gun Kid? Kid?
Has Kid in the name. I'm giving you partial credit.
Cisco Kid?
How about a kid from a certain very large state?
Texas?
The Texas Kid.
Okay.
Also known as the Outlaw Kid. Where do these Kennings come from? Let me tell you. It's kind of interesting. What was the hometown of this comic book Western hero, the Ghost Rider? I think people have heard of the Ghost Rider before.
Okay, Johnny Blaze.
We're not talking about Nicolas Cage, though.
Well, but that...
Yeah. San Antone?
Nope.
Or Houston?
Big
Phoenix?
Sky Country.
Montana.
It was in Montana. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, your options are limited. Missoula, Billings.
Helena.
I'm not sure it's a common one. It may be technically fictional, but it's got a cool name. Two words, both start with B. The second one is a place where a river kind of wraps around itself.
Big Bend.
Bend, yep. And then the other B would have been those animals that we used to have a lot of around here.
Buffalo.
Bison Bend.
Bison Bend.
Bison. Okay. Montana. Wow. So, yeah, we put it all together. That's cool. What, you don't agree? Come on, isn't that the way you lead your students on in class?
I think I'm going to flog Drew.
Oh, my gosh.
He would enjoy that way too much, actually.
TMI.
Oh, my. I'll tell you what, we're going to have to ponder that one while we take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback, 1995.
Who said only in a police state is the job of a policeman easy?
Gore Vidal.
No, it's an American... actor, director, filmmaker, stage director, theater.
Orson Welles.
That's right. Orson Welles. That's right. Who said, moral indignation, jealousy with a halo?
Ooh, that's nice.
Oh, Sarah.
Is that Sarah White?
Said it.
No. And just joining us from the Department of History, the chairman of that department, Professor Sarah Gravel.
Someone's sitting in my chair. Out of my forage bowl.
Don't relax. What about your bed?
Nobody's sleeping in my
okay.
bed. Oh, you poor love.
We are back with some great questions from Drew Warner, who is related to somebody in the room by marriage, from what I understand. Name at least two historic figures that appeared as recurring characters in comic books with a Western theme.
Ulysses S. Grant.
No.
Teddy Roosevelt.
No.
Wyatt Earp.
Buffalo Bill.
Buffalo Bill I don't have here. Wyatt Earp I have.
Annie Oakley.
Mm-hmm. Annie Oakley is the first
Billy
one on the list.
Billy the Kid.
Yep, Billy the Kid's on the list.
Wild Bill Hickok.
Wild Bill Hickok is on the list. We're missing really only one from Drew's list here.
I thought we only needed two.
I know.
Wyatt Earp.
Bat Masterson.
Extra credit. Yeah.
Any of the OK Corral
Doc
guys?
Doc Holliday.
Nope. Very classic death of this supposed historic character. I believe he was... shot in the back of the head while hanging a picture on the wall.
Abraham Lincoln.
Wild Bill was playing cards, right? Because he had the dead man's hand.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
When he was killed. Shot in the back of the head.
You guys, I'm
hanging
surprised.
A picture?
Yeah, well, hanging a picture on the wall. That's how they caught him. It's Jesse James.
Jesse James.
Yes. Name at least two Western heroes of the cinema who had comic books.
Cisco Kid, Lone Ranger.
I don't see Cisco
Roy
Kid.
Roy Rogers.
And I don't see Lone Ranger. Roy Rogers is here, though. Yeah.
Yes.
Lone Ranger's got a movie.
Have Gun Will Travel.
Yeah.
Have Gun Will Travel isn't a person, but it's not here. The Bat Masterson is not here. The guitar playing cowboy?
Roy something?
Roy Rogers.
I already said Roy Rogers.
But I, when I hear the guitar playing cowboy, I think of
Gene Autry.
Gene Autry.
Oh, okay. Yes. Didn't he also own a baseball team?
He did.
Probably. He got hit. Yeah, he did a lot of stuff.
I got Charles.
Like writing Christmas songs.
Right, exactly. Rudolph. Charles Starrett, Tim Holt, Wild Bill Elliott, Hopalong Cassidy, and Tom Mix. I know my dad.
Tom Mix and Hopalong Cassidy are the only ones of those I ever heard of.
Wow. Which comic book Western hero had the longest continuous publication run in comics? It's another kid. Like it's half.
Was it the Two Gun Kid, the
Billy
Rawhide
the
Kid?
Kid, Cisco.
How about,
kid.
Do you know what
Sundance
NFL team
kid.
Andrew Luck plays for?
Excuse
Colts?
Me.
Kid Colt.
Outlaw. That's what it says here. Who was the first black comic book Western hero? Ooh. This one I actually know. It's Marvel, if I remember correctly. West. But I could be wrong.
This was not based on Blazing Saddles?
It says 1965.
Okay.
Hmm. Maybe it influenced Blazing Saddles.
It's the Spanish word for wolf.
Lobo was his name.
Not Sheriff Lobo, just Lobo.
Claude,
I remember Sheriff Lobo.
Who is the most famous Western hero from DC Comics? He has a messed up face.
Oh, Jonah Hex.
Is his name. His face was melted.
Terrible movie.
Not the best movie, right? Not the best movie.
He had this hanging lip thing.
It was like acid had eaten away.
Oh, my goodness.
It was pretty bad.
Messed up.
Face for radio.
Or comic books.
Not one of Josh Brolin's better.
No, not at all.
What two DC Comics Western heroes were a previous incarnation of Hawkman and Hawkgirl?
The Hawk Kids?
Reasonable.
Hawkman, Hawkgirl.
Reasonable guess.
Good one.
So they were incarnations of Hawkman and Hawk.
Carter Hall and Shayera Hall were the Hawkman, Hawkgirl.
Oh, wow.
I know that.
This guy. This
oh,
guy.
My
but I don't
fire,
know
man.
The prior incarnation.
I can think of as Batman and Batgirl, but you want the Western.
These are Western,
well,
right?
Do you know Batman pretty well,
yeah,
Beth?
I do.
Okay, so when the first Robin,
Dick Grayson.
Dick Grayson became a superhero. He became a different superhero
after Nightwing.
He graduated. Yeah. Nightwing. So the first one was Nighthawk, was the first one. Oh, and the second one is named after a very common holiday spice.
Mace?
Kind of stereotypical female name.
Nutmeg, huh? Not
Cinnamon.
Mace. Cinnamon. It was Nighthawk and Cinnamon. That's what it says here.
Nighthawk and Cinnamon?
Yeah, not
sounds like something you find on 7 Mile and Woodward on the bad side of the street.
It sounds like two things that randomly pop up from that hipster name generator website.
God. Yeah, I know.
Nighthawk and Cinnamon.
It sounds like a law firm.
Do you, Nighthawk, take Cinnamon?
In heavy doses.
What were the? I think that we are going to have an issue with this based on something Jim Tubbs said a moment ago. What were the masked identities of Western heroes Tim Holt and Charles Starrett? We probably don't know. So what was Captain America's World War II era enemy? Do you know his name?
The Red Skull.
The Red Skull.
Yeah.
Only instead of skull, something you wear at Halloween over your face?
The Red Mask.
Red Mask.
Okay.
And I have no idea how to get a clue for the second one, so I'll just give it to you as the Durango Kid.
Sure.
Oh. Red Mask and Durango Kid. Yes.
We're being stumped.
Yeah, you're doing a great job.
Yeah, I'll just take off stump right now and just be done with
smokes. This is
he's getting
hardcore.
A mug.
Drew,
we also have some questions too, from you regarding just general comic book superheroes, and this is a little more
I told him to
broad.
Send military acronyms or something.
Yes, we have some military acronyms as well.
Ah.
So he listened. It's important you know, Beth, that he listened.
He usually does.
What nationality?
Like husband.
Yeah.
What nationality is Wolverine?
Canadian.
Yes, he is a Canadian. Absolutely.
Even
proud at that.
What newspaper publisher is Spider-Man foe Man-Wolf the son of?
J. Jonah Jameson.
J. Jonah Jameson.
No
way.
Played
in the movies by? In the Sam Raimi series?
Skinner? Oh,
played in the movies by?
What's his face?
Yeah, with the marked up face.
Skinner, was it? No, I just... I can see his face right now.
Yeah, I can too.
Because he's starring in the new King Kong movie that will be shot here in Detroit.
That's right, and he's from Detroit, actually.
Yes.
I'm surprised you guys can't get this.
I can picture him. Can't call the name.
He's doing the
used to be on Law and Order all the time.
Is it two initials?
Like not like B.F. Skinner, but something like that.
I can't remember. B.F. Skinner. It's so funny.
He also does those commercials for that.
For the insurance.
Farmers insurance company. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Yeah.
Yes. See, I said
and he's
it was
nominated
initials.
For an Oscar.
Right? When I said...
What's the movie... What's the name of the movie that he's nominated for?
Wind something.
I asked you if there were initials, and you didn't acknowledge.
I thought that I had.
No. Did you raise your eyebrows
my
or something?
B.F. Skinner didn't exactly help either, so.
That's true.
B.F. Skinner.
Behaviorist.
two Avengers, although we haven't seen this really in a movie yet, are brother and sister. Do you know who they are?
Wanda and Pietro Maximoff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good Lord, how do you know this
Scarlet
stuff?
Witch.
I'm just going to leave.
Are they, they're not Wonder Twins, are they?
No, thank God.
Oh, the Wonder Twin powers activated.
There's a reason Dave and Drew got along so well when they finally actually met each other face-to-face at your house, actually.
On your lawn.
Halloween.
See? In Avengers 16, three heroes join the Avengers that were currently led by Captain America, Hawkeye, Scarlet Witch, and Quicksilver. They all had something in common at that point. What was it?
They were all villains.
They were all villains. Yes, absolutely. I love that there's a direct... issue reference there. That's awesome.
Yes, Drew got Captain America Winter Soldier for Christmas.
Awesome. Very cool. Which DC Comics hero began life as a clay statue? I don't think many people know this. It's Wonder Woman. Yeah, absolutely.
Was that in your book?
No, we haven't gotten to that yet.
Oh, okay.
But does anybody know who her arch nemesis is?
The Cheetah?
Dr. Psycho.
Dr. Psycho.
Oh, what a good name.
You've got to be a doctor.
It sounds like his students just nicknamed him that.
I was saying, I see that on the schedule for next term's classes somewhere, Dr. Psycho?
I thought she came from the Paradise Island.
Yes, but all because there's no men there, they're all sculpted from the earth.
I always thought she was in the Amazon.
Yeah, that too.
It is the Amazon.
It's part of the mythos, yeah. Mm-hmm. What philosophy was the Charlton Comics character The Question a proponent of?
Existentialism.
Incorrect.
I just threw that one out there.
Oh.
Beth?
Buddhism?
Nope.
The Question?
Nihilism. Nihilism?
Nope. Zen.
The only problem is...
Yeah. Exhibitionism. Oh.
Flogging.
My jaw drops for the third time.
Is it actually a philosophy?
The problem is you're just going to smack me a few times because I don't know what kind of a clue to give because I don't remember what it means. I'm sorry. But it's objectivism. What is objectivism,
it's
Professor?
That's Ayn Rand.
Oh, my.
Unenlightened selfishness.
Okay, got it. All right.
Sure. So
the last refuge of the intellectually bankrupt.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that thing means that we've all gone intellectually bankrupt and we have to say goodbye, Professor Oljar.
Goodbye.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Tubbs.
Bye.
Professor Roach.
Adios.
Professor Hill Vasquez.
Toodles.
And now these words from the University of Detroit Mercy.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at Ask the Professor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mile.